I thought I knew what it meant to be cold. I'd grown up near Chicago. Winters there can be rough. But then there I was, shivering in my heavy coat and boots in a drafty bunkhouse at Birkenau in the middle of Poland in the coldest January I'd ever experienced. And cold barely begins to summarize the conditions faced by the person on our trip who had been one of the many sleeping four to a bed there. Well, not so much a bed as a series of wooden slats. The clothes on her back were ragged, the work hours deadly, and in the time Eva Kaur was not working, she and her twin sister were often the subject of cruel experiments by a Nazi doctor practicing what could, at best, be considered pseudoscience. So Eva knew what cold was. And what did she give every member of that trip? A long blue scarf inscribed with the Hebrew phrase Tikkun Olam. Roughly translated, it means heal the world. A little symbol of her inner fire in the face of such frigidity that many on the trip wore to the commemoration of the liberation of the camp that day in 2010.
The day of the ceremony was so bitterly cold.
At the time, Laura Pierce was a college student interning at Terre Haute's Candles Holocaust Museum, which Kaur started.
There were a couple little, like open fire pit sort of things. And so some of us were huddled around there and it was miserable. And then a few of us just looked at each other and said, oh my God.
A realization of what Kaur had gone through and a crystallizing moment, Pierce says, in her desire to make history real to the public.
Didn't make us any warmer, but it made us a lot more thankful and it definitely made us stop complaining.
It was a different kind of fire that brought Kaur together with Kiel Majewski, specifically an arsonist's attack on the museum in 2003.
It was really one of the all-time backfires. You know, arsonist meant to destroy and silence her message, and it really just gave rise to this this huge outgrowth of love and support and learning from Eva's message.
Majewski eventually became Candle's executive director and took multiple trips to Europe with Kaur's groups, sometimes to museums where her picture is still on the wall. In one photo, she's a forlorn-looking young girl, but Majewski says that belies an inner strength that he saw on a daily basis.
People would see pictures of her and think, here's a 4'9" sweet little old lady. And I would want to quickly disabuse them of those notions in case they ever met her in person and realized that she was nonstop bulldozer energy. And if you're in her way, she's going to go through you and get the job done.
She didn't allow anything that came her way to get in her way. And she's really kind of not beholden to just this idea that to be good, you have to be sweet only. You know, like to be good, you have to be fiery sometimes.
There's that word again, fire. This time from Jamie Luna Schatz, a high school English teacher in Terre Haute who regularly takes her students to the Candles Museum. She says her teaching is informed by the relationship she built with Eva Kaur, and her students have been bolstered in their social activism by the Holocaust survivors' story.
Them seeing Eva and knowing how people have how she's helped people and how people helped her has inspired them to want to do the same.
Eva Kaur was tortured by Nazis as a child, but was also photographed as an adult hugging one who had been on trial for war crimes, a sign of forgiveness that Majewski says many people, himself included, questioned at the time.
And 20 years ago, that was way ahead of its time. Now it's right in time, and there are so many people discussing that and studying that. So like with everything else, Eva was a trailblazer.
And Luna Schatz says, like so much else, perhaps even the date of her death had symbolism.
I think it was very fitting that she passed away on Independence Day because she was definitely an independent soul, you know, and she brought a lot of good to Terre Haute and our world.
Eva Kaur passed away in Krakow, Poland, just a short distance from a place where, for years, she had struggled to survive. The high temperature on the day of her death had been 74 degrees. But when the chill next sweeps over the selection platform at Birkenau, the memory of the scrappy lady in the blue overcoat and scarf will warm those who knew her. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Stan Jastrzebski.